I'm Ellie Sturton, the host of The Kingston Curator, and every Friday, 3 p.m., you can join me for all things arts. Tune in to hear interviews with local artists, authors, musicians, and more. I talk about the latest arts news and upcoming events. You won't want to miss it. Today, I'm going to start by giving you a brief rundown of what's happening around town this weekend, and then we'll get into some interviews. Today, you'll hear two interviews. The first will be with Kira Roberts and Ray Corcoran, who are the lead vocalists and guitarists from the Kingston band Tiny Horse. Then we'll hear from Simon Vandermeulenker, or Almond Milk, who is another local musician. Both Tiny Horse and Almond Milk recently performed at the Skeleton Park Arts Festival, so I reached out wanting to know how the weekend went and what they're up to for the rest of the summer. Now, just before we get into all those conversations, here are the main events and concerts you should check out this weekend. On Friday, Buckle Karaoke kicks off at 9 p.m. and goes until 12:30 a.m. It's free to join and always a good time. Over at the Grad Club, the Ottawa Invasion hits the stage from 8 to 11:30 p.m. with drag stars Josephine J and MX Caligula. It's a 19-plus event full of drama, camp, and fierce performances. Tickets start at $11.98. Feeling groovy? The Pride Glide Roller Disco is on at the Memorial Center from 7 to 9 p.m., hosted by Quad Squad and DJ Tiger Styles and photographer Liz Cooper. It's $22.63, and skate rentals are available if you book ahead. Or head to the Yoga Loft YGK for a sound immersion experience with Mihaela Sanchu from 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. Tickets are $25 for this relaxing, meditative session of healing sound. On Saturday, don't miss the Island Talks speaker series at Hotel Wolf Island. From 11 a.m. to noon, journalist John Loring will speak on his new book, No Jews Live Here, exploring how fascism grows in communities. It's a free event on the waterfront patio with a signing to follow. And wrapping things up on Sunday, stroll through the AWEC Summer Pop-Up Market from 10:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. in Confederation Park. This vibrant outdoor event showcases women-led businesses with art, fashion, food, and more. It's free, festive, and open to everyone. Have a local event you would like covered on CFRC's website and our news programming? Contact us today via cfrc.ca. And now, here's some great live music you should check out this weekend. On Friday, KPP Concerts presents Housewife Luella and Jessica Wolowicz at the Broom Factory at 7:30 p.m. Tickets are $15. At the Mansion, catch Burning Tree, the Healy Brothers, and Why Go from 8 to midnight for alt-rock, blues, and pop. Tickets are $15 at the door. Amber Humbley performs at the Opinicon from 6 to 9 p.m. as part of their free summer series. And over at the Toucan, Monic, Neon Ghost House, Echoes, and Yes Please, and the No Thank Yous take the stage from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Also on Friday, at Base 31, Ella Be Good, a tribute to the First Lady of Song, starts at 7:30 p.m. with tickets from $39 to $59. The Spire is hosting Pretzel Logic, a Steely Dan tribute, also at 7:30 p.m., and tickets are $55.25. Outdoors in Springer Market Square, Abby Stewart performs from 7 to 8 p.m. as part of Kickin' It Country, with free line dancing beforehand. And at Tiernan Oak, Tyler Brett Forks plays folk country from 9 p.m. to midnight. It's 19-plus and free. On Saturday, celebrate 12 years of the Big Fat Horn Band at the RCHA from 8 to 11 p.m. with guest Jasmine Wobodich. Tickets are $30 at the door. From 11:30 to 3:30, enjoy Saturday sessions in Confederation Park with free live sets across the genres. Or folks can catch Emma Worley and Claire Hunter at Hotel Wolf Island from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. for a free evening of folk pop. Over at McKinnon Brothers Brewery, Brass Over Tea Kettle plays from 1 to 4 p.m. with bold brass and cold beer. And if you're in the mood for a festival, day one of the Power of Positivity Musical Harvest kicks off at Line Spike Frontenac from 12 to 11 p.m. with Walks of the Earth, Chantal Kraviazic, and more. Tickets range from $99 to $400. And for the Night Owl, Sweet Pea and the Heat bring rock and blues to the Toucan from 10:30 p.m. to 2 a.m. Finally on Sunday, head to Finkel's Shore Park for Live Music Sundays with Lucanus Pell at 2 p.m., Ethan Crosby at 3, and Courtney Kane at 4 p.m. And day two of the Power of Positivity Festival features Cassador, Grievous Angels, Tom Green, Kelsey Mayne, and the headliner, Burton Cummings, running from noon to 11 p.m. And at the Toucan, don't miss the Gertrudes from 5 to 8 p.m. for their signature Kingston sound. Have a local concert that you would like covered on CFRC's website and our news programming? Contact us today via cfrc.ca. Those were the events and concerts that folks can look forward to this weekend. Now, getting into our interviews, first up we have Tiny Horse with Ray Corcoran and Kira Roberts. These Kingston musicians started their band during COVID, and it's only grown since then. Their summer has been full of live performances, and they just recently released their new song, Islands. Learn all about it in this interview. So today I'm sitting down with Ray Corcoran and Kira Roberts from Kingston's beloved indie rock band, Tiny Horse. So thank you for joining me.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for having us.
So the past weekend you were performing at Skeleton Park Arts Festival. How do you think it went?
I think it went really well. It was our first time playing. We go to the festival like every year, so that like we're big fans of the festival. And it was like super special. The sound was great. The energy was there. An amazing crowd. Mm-hmm. I think altogether it was super fun and the show went really well.
Yeah, totally. I think that we were a bit nervous because it was like the hottest day of summer. It was like 35 degrees or something. And we didn't know if people were going to stay out. We had that last slot on the Sunday too, but I think it actually ended up being the perfect time for us to play. And the whole day was such an amazing array of music and we were super happy to be a part of it.
When you're performing, were you performing your newest song?
We played it, yeah. We played Islands. And I think it was like maybe our third time playing it live, third or fourth, mm-hmm. that many times.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like a lot of our songs, we've been playing them for years, like on that last album, were songs that we'd had pre-existing for a while. So whenever we add like a new one to the set, it's always a bit nerve-wracking, but always makes the show like way more fun because you're... I don't know, excited to share it. And I think we got great feedback from the crowd. And yeah, people seem to be liking it. So we're happy about that.
Awesome. The song just came out, the single on, what was that, June 25th?
Yeah, yesterday.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
Insane. So can you tell me a little bit about the song, like what the inspiration is, what the mm-hmm. sound is like?
Yeah, so this was kind of our first time self-producing a song on our last album. Our friend Brett helped us with a lot of the recording, and that kind of got us used to working in the studio. And the more time you spend in a studio, kind of the more comfortable you get to explore. So this is our first time self-producing with our friend Maddie Bates. And we definitely wanted it to be more of like a pop song. I was listening to like a ton of like The National, Bon Iver, all the new Lorde stuff, and I really like those really round electronic sounds where you're kind of mashing up like electronic drums with like natural instruments. So that's kind of what we were going for, and the whole sort of like theme of the song is like getting through something to the other side of it, which I think is pretty like relevant for a lot of people right now. It feels like everybody's kind of like going through something and just trying to get to the other side. So yeah.
Oh, that's really cool. I'm new to Kingston, and I'm kind of new to the art scene in Kingston. But you guys are everywhere. Like
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, I write events and concerts calendars every week, and
okay.
I always see your names. Tiny Horse.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what have you been up to this summer besides Skeleton Park Arts Fest?
What have we done?
Yeah, we played, we did a couple of shows with another band called The Codas, where we did two nights. We did the Rivoli and then we did the Spire in Kingston. So that was, I think that was early June or end of May. And then we were able to go to Windsor. So we played a Windsor date. And coming up, we've got actually a bunch of shows. We're playing Ottawa a couple times.
We're playing Blues Fest.
Blues Fest, which is really exciting.
In Ottawa Blues Fest.
Mm-hmm. And we have, we're doing the Canada Day party in Belleville next week. We're also playing the Kegs 25th? Staff party. So that's like a really weird
Isn't
show.
Is it their 25th anniversary?
It's like their 20th anniversary of the Kingston
I've
location.
I've been saying it's the 50th anniversary.
It's a private party. You can't come, but...
but we're playing it.
Yeah, and then we've got... we're kind of like building up a bit of momentum right now to go on a larger run in the fall. So we've got some... more Ontario dates as well as a couple of US dates that we're getting ready to announce for kind of the October time. So yeah, we're just kind of trying to
keep the momentum.
Yeah.
Very
keep it rolling.
Exciting. Yeah. So how long have you been working like together in Tiny Horse?
Mm-hmm. It's been about 5 years. The band like initially started as just me and Kira, and it was during COVID and we started playing songs together because we didn't have anything else to do. We were living together and we just got bored of watching TV. We decided, let's just try to write a song. I was in a band at the time and had done like a bit of solo stuff, and Kira had done some solo stuff on her own, and we just figured it was time. And it worked really well. We just wrote a bunch of songs in like a couple weeks, and the next thing you know, we came up with a band name and we're like, we're a band now.
So 5 years, what's changed? How has Tiny Horse grown?
Mm-hmm. We have an amazing pianist, Julia Beatty, and we have Harvey Dolphin on drums, who's excellent as well, and beautiful British man. So we have the two of them, and then we've had like a few people come in, rotating in, playing bass for us. What else?
Yeah, I think like we've kind of really been able to create this live show that we're like pretty proud of and we think is exciting, and kind of like, I feel like everybody's trying to do something a little bit different, and I feel like Ray and I, like having two lead singers, having that kind of back and forth dynamic, I think that that's developed a lot like over the past few years, and like it changes between shows, right? So you're kind of going to get like some different iteration of what we're talking about, what's going on, like based off of when you see us, I guess. And I think that we're learning how to get like closer and closer to like the kind of concert that we would like want to go to, I guess. It's kind of interesting, like when you're writing a song, sometimes you finish it and you're like, you're proud of it and you like it, but you're like, would I actually like listen to that song? And I want, like, as we move forward, for everything to be like, I want to like sit down on like a Sunday or like Saturday night at a party and like want to put it on. So I think that
that's like, yeah, the hardest thing about writing music is all I want to do is like make the music that I like. Like I want to be in that whatever like little dream pop, yeah, dance and cry genre that I like. I don't know, it's so hard to make the sound that you actually want to make. Like it's so easy to have like these concepts and like ideas and lyrics and everything, and then you get into a studio and it doesn't always like, it doesn't pan out half the time the way that you hope it does, or it just doesn't. Or you write a song and maybe it's a great song, but it's not exactly like the genre that you were going for. It's complicated.
Yeah, I feel like visual artists, they describe this all the time, where it's like they have like, you know, they have their references and what they want something to look like, but then when you actually put your hand to the canvas, it's not going to turn out exactly how you think it is. But I feel like we're getting closer and closer to...
I think so, too.
Yeah, so that's... Yeah, and it's just, in the past 5 years, I feel like things have... We've, like, developed this really amazing kind of, like, community around us. Like, there's several cities around Ontario we can play, and we know we're going to have, like, the most amazing crowd. And I don't know, I kind of like how it's grown pretty naturally. And we're still, like, a super, super small band. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, I'm really, like, proud of, like, kind of the following that we've gathered.
We're a real grassroots band. We're a live band and we like to play live, and I think that really works in our favor. Like, we maybe don't have a million followers on TikTok or whatever.
Yeah, we're always getting crap for having bad numbers.
Yeah, everybody, our numbers are not good, but the people that follow along, like, what's
engage.
The, engage.
Yeah,
they engage.
Like it. They're there. They're
yeah,
real.
They're there. They repost. They like, they comment, whatever. It sucks that is like part of it now. I don't know. I'm not a social media person. I'm not very good at it, and I don't love it. Like, doesn't bring me any joy. It just makes me depressed most of the time, and I hate that that's what everybody is like focused on in the music industry. I think it's so stupid, and but that's just the game, so we're trying to do it. We're buckling down and we're doing our best here, so follow us. Tiny Horse Band. Shameless promotion.
That's perfect. No, I was talking about that kind of aspect of social media marketing is now infused with creating music.
Yeah.
If you want to succeed as an artist, you need to have this online presence. But a lot of the time, that's not where the passion is.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's great because if you do it, if you kind of like hit the nail on the head, you can sort of explode. And I think I always go back and forth because it's like we don't really... We're an indie band, so it's not like we have like a record label or all these, you know, promotional powers. So it is like this amazing tool that anybody can use, but it's just really hard to be good at. And yeah, I don't know. I don't think it makes anybody feel that great.
No.
No. And but you know, I think that like probably 75% of our growth and our following is just like from people that like come to see the shows. And like we're big believers in like, what's that called? Chainmail, like send it to your friends, you know, like get your best friend in on it, send it to your aunt, kind of like that natural reach. Yeah. But we played, you know, we'll sell out. We do the TikTok thing. We'll try. We'll, I don't know.
We're trying.
Well, I did want to ask, like, what are your kind of upcoming plans or ideas? And you mentioned, like, your dream performance, mm-hmm. like, on stage live performance.
Yeah.
What does that look like?
Cool. Good question. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love the idea of being able to do, like, a longer run of shows where you are almost creating some sort of, like, hybrid between, like, a theater show and a musical performance. Like, I feel like some of the best shows that we've been to are these, like, really, really thoughtful ones. An example would be, like, we just saw Lucy Dacus a couple weeks ago. And the whole show, it's just, like, the way it's structured, the set design, the transitions. I don't know. I really love, like, that. I'm really excited about having the opportunity to create, like...
It's almost like theater.
Yeah, you're creating, like a theater, show, yeah.
Theatrical experience. I feel like I saw Claro a few months ago, and her show was so interesting. Just, like, the pre-show, her and her whole band just, like, sitting on stage, like, everybody's, like, in their seats, and there's just, like, a playlist playing, and they just, like, crack a bottle of wine, and they're, like, drinking wine kind of in front of us. It just felt like... Like a theater. Mm-hmm. I don't know. We just want to do fun things like that.
Yeah, and like
outside the box a little bit.
Right now, a lot of the time that we're playing, it'll be kind of like these one-off shows in Ottawa, Toronto, Windsor, or like part of festivals and stuff. And it's not like we have like, it's not like you're really bringing in like a full freaking set or something like that. I mean, we have done like some stuff like that for shows, but yeah, I would just love basically like creating like a freaking production of a show. And I really think that the further we get into this new music, that like having the electronic musical instruments is like a huge component of it. Like I really want to hear like more drum machines. Like in every one of these songs, there's always these weird kind of like samples that we've taken and finding ways to incorporate that with our guitars and pianos and obviously drums. And so, yeah.
I love that. I think we're seeing that a lot more now in music too, like kind of the blending of theater and like traditional concert performance. It's kind of like an additional way to create a world for your audience.
Yeah.
I think it's a really cool intersection. And also like an opportunity for different artists to collaborate, like set designers and musicians. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really cool.
Lighting, like I feel like lighting can totally change a show. Like if you've got like an amazing lighting designer. And kind of just like where we're at now, we're obviously still small, but hopefully as we grow and things get bigger, I would love to have like an actual, you know, lighting design that lighting goes exhibit. With it. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Like production.
Yeah. We have production.
I just want to get a little bit bigger.
Yeah. Okay. So your new song, do you have any plans for a music video maybe? Some production value there?
Yeah. So we actually, Islands is out now, so you can listen to the song anywhere, but we have a music video that's going to be premiering later next week we did with a Toronto director. His name's Adrian Benson. He actually did Almond Milk's music video for the music video competition.
Oh,
did you see that?
I haven't.
Yeah.
No.
Anyway.
I'll look into that.
Blah, 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 blah. But yeah, we have the music video premiering next week. And yeah, we hope that everybody checks it out.
Can you give a little like sneak peek description of what people could see?
Yeah, it's... It's a high drama athletic match.
Okay.
It's a high drama athletic match. There.
I don't know. What would you say?
Not that. I would have just said what it was.
Oh, yeah.
It's Ray and I wrestling.
Yeah.
It's a wrestling match.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So is that the, like a screenshot of that? Is it your album cover? Yeah. Or the singles cover?
Totally. Yeah.
Well, I can't wait to see that. Will you be performing that at the Canada Day concert?
Yes, we surely will.
We surely will be, yeah. We're on at 6 p.m. in Belleville on Canada Day. When's the next time people can see us in Kingston? Probably not till the fall, actually, unless you're going to be at the keg party. But
if you work at the keg.
If you work at the keg, you'll see us next week.
Yeah, everybody should try to go to Belleville then. And definitely look out for the new music video next week for Islands by Tiny Horse. So... Thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ellie.
You just heard an interview between myself, Ellie Sturton, and the members of Tiny Horse, Kira Roberts and Ray Corcoran. Now coming up, a conversation I had with local artist Almond Milk.
He was also performing at Skeleton Park and is working on some really neat stuff this summer. We talk all about the creative process, his collaborations, and a new name change, so stay tuned to hear all about it. Hi everyone, today I'm sitting down with Simon van der Meulenker, or Almond Milk, as he's better known around Kingston, and today we're going to be chatting about his music and the recent performance at the Skeleton Park Arts Festival. So to start off, before we get into anything, I'm so curious, why Almond Milk?
Yeah, usually this is people's first question if they're curious about it. I don't have like that interesting of an answer, I'm gonna be honest. I started making music when I was really young, and I started singing when I was 14, and I wanted to make like a new name that wasn't my name to like represent making like full songs and like starting to sing and experiment with more. I wanted to have like a full moniker, I guess, to represent me. And at the time, I think I was really into like lots of indie music and kind of like bedroom pop, and like that whole scene was like really everywhere at that time. I was really looking up to these artists who had kind of slightly strange or like jarring almost names. And I was thinking about a name that if I was scrolling on Spotify or even anywhere online and I came across an artist named Almond Milk, I would probably click on it and I would be interested. So I chose the name and I couldn't think of anything better, so I went with it.
It's true though, it is a unique name. I guess that's why people always ask you about it.
Yeah.
All right, so about your music, you started singing when you were 14.
Mm-hmm.
Do you play instruments as well, or?
Yeah, before that I had been like just producing. I got like a free version of Ableton Live, the production software, when I was 13. And I was kind of messing around with it for a while. I was traveling with my family for a long time, and I was kind of just with my family, and I had a lot of time on my hands. So I was kind of making these instrumentals and beats, and I would upload them. And I was not very good at singing. I never really was, but I was curious about getting better. And oh yeah, and about instruments, I always played the drums a little bit. I still play drums for the Kingston artist Luella. I'm her drummer. Drums are still my favorite instrument. I play most other instruments though, like piano, guitar, bass. I love synthesizers and like weird digital sound design stuff.
It seems like you've learned a lot, and music is really like an area of expertise, obviously. Do you think it's like an accessible thing to get into?
I think more and more every year, as time goes on, it'll be more and more accessible. That's a double-edged sword too, which I can get into, but I think it's easier now than ever. And like, I'm definitely a part of that. Like, I had a really terrible laptop and like just a little, my family got my dad a MIDI controller. Like just a keyboard that doesn't play anything until you hook it up to a computer and choose sounds for it. And that's what started it for me, is I had the software. Nowadays you can get any music software for free. You can get your foot in the door in any way. Like there's a learning curve to anything, and you're gonna maybe be disappointed a little bit early on. Like I was really mad at myself for probably 3 or 4 years. Sometimes I would like release something and look back on it and be like, this is terrible. But you'll see progress like if you stick with it, and you can do anything. Like you don't have to do it a certain way. I think whatever you're inspired by, if you just go there, if you love folk music and when people play the accordion and guitar on stage, like start learning guitar. And yeah, at the moment I'm trying to learn a lot, and because there's still a lot I don't know how to do and a lot of skills I haven't really put attention to, like dancing is one. Like I'd like to be a better live performer and have kind of a better stage presence, and I don't know, there's always ways to improve. And so right now I think I'm just trying to learn.
You mentioned you want to learn more about live performance and dancing and, you know, stage presence. The past weekend, you were performing at Skeleton Park Arts Festival. How did you find that live performance experience?
It was very interesting. I've been to that festival, I think, every single year since moving to Kingston. We moved here when I was 5. And I live, like, maybe 4 or 5 blocks away from Skeleton Park. So I've been in that park a lot in my life, and I've seen the festival a lot. And so it was very interesting to be on the stage and see that area of it, I guess. Because it's a festival I know so well, like, most of the audience is kind of community members and, like, a lot of people who are in Kingston who know me, like, who know Simon, but don't know I make music. Or maybe they know a little bit, but haven't seen me perform or haven't seen anything about it. So I was a little nervous for it. I prepared a lot. I went between thinking maybe I would make a super kind of low-key and very chill, like, calm, you know, sitting down at the park kind of energy for the performance, or I would play the more high energy songs, because like people do love to dance at this festival. Like everyone comes up and is dancing, even though it's like midday. And in the end, I landed on kind of mixing the two together. I think it went great. It was a solo set. Sometimes I have people come up and help me, like they will do vocals, and like I have some songs with Luella and she'll come up and sing. I'd like to have instrumentalists at some point, but it was good. It made me very, very happy to see people in the audience smiling and like very, very old kind of elderly dancers. Like there was a guy with his cane kind of grooving like this, and there were kids like holding hands, dancing around in a circle, even though the song they were dancing to was called Kill For You and was when I was 15, whatever, very like angry and kind of trapped song about whatever. It was in the height of COVID and I was
teenage like, angst and COVID.
Yeah. Just that song. But yeah, so I knew I was going to be kind of a wild card or something, like, but I think it went well.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay, well, it's just like a little question, but do you have a favorite song or a favorite project that you've worked on?
Recently, I'm very excited about collaboration. Once I put out this album, like in January this year, I was thinking about what's next. Like, what do I want to do now? Like, do I start another album or I don't know, what do I do? And I've always wanted to really try collaborating with a lot of interesting people. I was able to meet some really cool artists. There's an artist in Montreal named Telly, and I became friends with him about a year ago. And it is really exciting for me because I make a lot of music alone and like just with myself. And it is great. I'm never going to stop doing that. But it's a different feeling to kind of work with someone else who I really, really like their music and they're inspiring and everything. So he only has one song out right now, but he has maybe 2 or 3 projects that are done and like ready to release. And, I made a song with him and produced another one, and, they're going to come out soon. He's going to release an EP first on July 5th called Only Girl. And I have a feature on the track Only Girl and produced some of the song called 17 with him. And it's exciting to me because I think if he keeps making music and keeps releasing and keeps kind of exploring what he's doing, like I listen to a lot of music, but like he could be one of my favorite artists.
So that's July 5th, Telly,
yep.
Only Girl.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll make sure to look out for that. Yeah, that was going to be my next question. I mean, what are your next big things? What's coming up for you?
Well, yeah, collaborations. Like, since the album came out, it's only been kind of collaborations that have been coming out. I made a song with 2 Montreal artists that was really fun. It was called You Got Me. It's like very Steve Lacy, kind of whatever, bedroom pop type thing. One of the artists, Cherry, he's like deep in the world of, he's really good at marketing and promotion. So that song like really blew up, which was cool. Since maybe like mid-May, I've been trying to make a song every day or some kind of something every day. Most days it is like a full song, like from start to finish, like production, writing, vocals, mixing, mastering. If I like am going, that's like 5 hours and I can do that. But I don't have 5 hours every day.
I was gonna say, like that's mind blowing, a song every day.
And some days I have no time at all, like maybe 30 minutes, and I'll just make something. Like, I've just been trying to make something, like, to keep practicing. To go back to your question about what's next, like, I don't know what comes next, but I'm starting to realize that, I don't know, I, like, all of the potential for me to, like, really take this and, like, go for it and, like, make a lot of cool things happen, like, I have that potential right now. And it depends how much I use it. I think the thing that's most exciting to me is getting better at music and, like, really practicing and, like, being able to make, like, things that I'm very proud of. And I think the route to that is really clear to me. It's just, like, make a lot of things. Like, any of the artists that I'm really inspired by, even if they're not music, like, a lot of them say the same thing. It's just, like, the key to getting better at anything is just to do it. Especially in the arts, like, you'll do something a lot and then you'll start to notice little things that you prefer and, like, the sounds that you like, and you start to kind of become less of an imitator, like, just kind of trying to sound a certain way, and you just sound the way you are, and you start to carve out your own kind of lane.
Yeah, like, kind of finding your own creative voice through practice and through creation.
Yeah. I'm planning on the whole summer, I'm gonna make all these songs, like, try to make as many as I can, and then I'm going to make a new artist name, and I'm not gonna tell anybody what the artist name is called, I don't think. Maybe I will, I actually don't know yet. I have it in my head, but I'm gonna start releasing a lot of those songs and see what will happen.
Under a new name?
Yeah.
Why a new name, though? Why not Almond Milk?
The biggest reason that I wanted to make a song a day and, like, force myself to, like, start and finish things, like, way faster is because with Almond Milk, the post-production work where, like, after you're done a song, you go back and you pick at it and, like, maybe even change things altogether, you know, mix it, make sure everything's the right volume, master it. That whole process, like, I actually love. I love polishing songs. I love mixing and mastering. But it's kind of getting in the way of starting new things, like, because every time I have a blank canvas, it felt like a monumentous, like, pressure to that it was a big thing. Like, whatever's next has to be better than what I've done before. So to counter that, I was like, let me just actually make a lot of bad music. like let me try to make something, even if it's really bad. Just, like, start and finish it. And so the reason it would be a new name is because I want to keep Almond Milk for those polished, like, more narrative and, like, cohesive projects. Like, and the other name would be for kind of less polished, less, like, perfect sounding, like, a lot more imperfections, and maybe shorter songs too, and a lot weirder too, kind of a, like, anything goes name.
Yeah.
Like, it does not matter what it is, like, it can go there.
Just a name to have kind of experimental creative freedom under.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's really cool. Kingston definitely is huge on you, supports you and your music and your journey. So I bet they'll be excited. I'm excited to hear some of those songs, hear what the new name is. Unless you have anything else you'd like to tell people on air. I think that was all my questions.
I'm still looking for any work I can get this summer that's music related. So if anybody's who's listening has, like, songs or projects that need polishing, like mixing and mastering, I've done a lot of it, so I would love to work and do this for you. I think that's about it.
All right, well, thank you so much for joining me today. This was really fun to learn about you and your music.
Yeah, thank you.
Another piece of arts and culture news for you. The Kingston Arts Council is running an Artist Prosperity Project. So the Artist Prosperity Project is a survey that seeks to understand the realities of working as an artist in Cataraqui and Kingston and the surrounding region. Artists can help shape a clearer picture of the local arts economy and support efforts to promote financial sustainability and economic growth in the arts sector. The survey is divided into three different disciplines: visual arts, music, and performing arts. So if you fall under any of those three disciplines, you are encouraged to share your responses. The survey takes about 15 to 20 minutes with 40 to 45 questions. and all responses will remain anonymous. So head to artskingston.ca for more information about the Artist Prosperity Survey. And that's all for this week's installation of The Kingston Curator. I'm your host, Ellie Sturton, and you can catch me each week Friday at 3 p.m. on CFRC 101.9 FM. I hope everyone out there has a fantastic weekend.